When you're lost in the darkness, look for The Pod. Specifically, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, where we're breaking down every new episode of HBO's The Last of Us. On Sunday nights, grab your battery and join Van Lathan and Charles Holmes for an instant reaction to the latest episode.
Then head back to the QZ on Tuesdays for a deep dive with Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin. From character arcs to video game adaptation choices, story themes to needle drops, we'll parse every inch of this cordyceps-coded universe. Watch out for mouth tendrils and follow along on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of the Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Welcome to the Ringer NFL Show. I'm Sheil Kapadia, joined by Nora Princiati. We had breaking news this morning. Nora, Tom Brady is retiring again. He says this time for good. So instead of the scramble this week, you and I were going to talk some coaching stuff on the scramble. We're just going to talk about Tom Brady today. How you feeling? When did you get this news? Were you awake? What was happening?
I was awake. It was a little bit of a calmer way to get it, just sitting at my kitchen table with my laptop open and seeing it break on social media, than the first time around, Tom Brady's first retirement, when my wonderful editor Connor Nevins texted me something like, have you seen, like something really cryptic. I was skiing. I was like at the top of a mountain and was like, I have not, what is what's going on? And then he called me and he was like, he did it. And I think we needed to go through three or four different sentences that didn't actually say what happened, but just implied that there had been a major news event before I was like, Connor, I'm in the snow. What happened? And he was like, Tom Brady retired. So less dramatic than that. But, you know, just sitting there scrolling the interwebs as one does and saw Tom Brady's face speaking directly to camera on what I think is a beach and calling it a career, I guess, for the second time. So we'll see what happens. But it seemed like he was pretty adamant.
That's right. A 53-second Twitter video. I was watching it thinking, I think this is the first time I've clicked on a Tom Brady video in my life. But
wow,
I figured
Sheil,
that
you
would
always
be...
come with the stats. 53 seconds.
Yeah, that's right.
The advanced metrics.
That was the least amount of prep I could do, is, you know, see how long the video was and watch the video. Let's start here. Are you surprised? Are you surprised that Tom Brady, after the way things ended in Tampa last year, some of the openings that there are around the league, that he's choosing this year to finally say, once and for all, we think that he is no longer going to play football anymore?
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I felt not sure, certainly, but I felt pretty strongly that he was going to keep playing. I guess credit to Tom Brady, because the reason I thought that was a little bit of a sunk cost thing, where he'd retired once before, came out of retirement after the 40 days. It's not fair to say this for sure, but the timeline of when his marriage ended and all of that at least created this idea that that had something to do with the fact that he wouldn't stop playing football. So, and the Bucks were not good, and he didn't get to go out on top. So to me, that created this idea that he would try to run it back, because I don't think that this was a great season for him. I think especially towards the end of it, he was showing some signs of tailing off. But I also think that he was the least of Tampa's problems this year. And there were teams that I think would have been interested in him that would have represented a decent shot to keep playing, to have some fun playing, to not feel like it was pointless, and to maybe be able to compete. So because of how bad this year was, I thought that he would go for a do-over. But I guess give him credit for saying, you know what, maybe this wasn't a good idea, and I would like to enter a new phase of my life and just call it a day now.
Yeah, I wish I could say I disagree and I'm not surprised at all. But if anyone listens to this feed, literally 48 hours ago, I was predicting that Tom Brady was going to be the week one starter for the San Francisco 49ers. So I can't get caught in a lie.
Yes.
Here. I have to admit that I'm very surprised, honestly, because of, you know, you pointed it out well. Like, we don't know the exact details of what happened in his personal life, but just think of the last year. He retires. We know Giselle has been literally on the record in the past, sort of, you know, voicing concern about him continuing playing football. And so he retires, he unretires, he gets divorced. He has a really horrible season, not him just personally, but the Bucks. I mean, that was like one of the most painful watches all season long, just to watch that football team. I mean, no joy on that team, horribly coached, but, you know, terrible execution, injuries, anything you name. It really was a nightmarish season, despite them sneaking into the playoffs. And so I thought, you know what, if he kind of made that decision last offseason that, no, I want to continue keep playing, I didn't view that as like, I just need one more year, you know, one more year. It was kind of like, I still enjoy doing this. Yeah, I'm still good at doing this. When it's time, it's time. But I'm not going to put like an end date on when I'm going to stop playing football. I mean, already what he was doing is so unprecedented. I mean, no one, like, that's the thing. Like, I would constantly have to remind myself and go on Pro Football Reference and like look up, you know, how many quarterbacks played a game at the age of 45? 3, 44, 45. And it's like nobody. It's Tom Brady, maybe get a Vinny Testaverde in there or whatever. So what he was doing was already unprecedented. And then I think the point you made about other opportunities, that really, like, I wasn't joking about the 49ers thing. I thought, you know what? All right,
totally.
Maybe personally he wants to live on the East Coast, but we know that this is just like a, you know, it's not the longest season. It's what, 5 months out of the year for 1 year to play.
Well, and that's his hometown team, right? So maybe there's a little bit of a difference.
Right. Your hometown team, you've got the weapons there. They've got a need. You've got Kyle Shanahan. You've got a really good defense. Like, if you're just saying, I think I can still do it, I don't want to go out like I did in Tampa, that to me actually made a lot of sense. And from the Niners' perspective, it's not like they would have to trade three picks. Like, you literally are signing him to a 1 year contract for whatever the money would be, somewhere probably around $30 million. And you say, well, give this one shot. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, no big deal. But I guess that, I don't know if that wasn't appealing from either end. A couple reports I wanted to get your thoughts on. ESPN's Jeff Darlington reported that it was either going to be retirement or Tampa, which that really surprised me if that's true. And, you know, Bill Simmons, the pod father, he said that he thought it was either going to be Miami or a Sean Payton partnership if Brady continued retiring. And obviously, you and Lindsay talked about it. Payton goes to Denver, and, you know, Miami, who knows if there was interest there. So what do you kind of think about those reports, the 49ers possibility, and why, you know, he might have chose that, hey, now is the time? Because I think, like you said, we're both surprised by this.
Yeah. The Darlington thing with Tampa surprises me too. Although, don't take that as my saying it's not true, because Jeff Darlington is, one, a really good reporter, and also has always been incredibly plugged in with Brady specifically.
Yeah.
That seems shocking to me, because I just cannot imagine, particularly as Brady already at one point tried to orchestrate his departure from Tampa to, you know, maybe play in Miami, maybe try that thing with Sean Payton the first time around. It shocks me that he would want to do that again. Particularly, you know, they've made moves with coaching, but I just thought that was such a horrible situation. And I don't know why he wouldn't be interested in going somewhere else when, as we talked about with the 49ers, the one that I always had my eye on was the Jets. It seemed like there were decent options available. It's Bill's take that he was thinking about either Miami or partnering with Sean Payton somewhere. I mean, I guess that makes some sense. And it would explain the timeline because the door kind of closed with Miami making some proclamations about being committed to Tua going forward and then Peyton going to Denver. I just don't think he would have completely run out of options. And it's such a big commitment to play a full season of football that, and he's so obsessed with it that I guess I don't think of, like, I think of the decision as you want to play or you don't want to play, but maybe that is the wrong way to look at it. Maybe like part of why I'm surprised here is because I wasn't thinking of it in terms of he's going to be really choosy. And if it's not the right fit, he will walk away. I just think he's so obsessed that it was always going to have more to do with, am I willing to just let this go? The thing that I wonder about is that I don't think that he'd fallen off the proverbial cliff this year, but particularly in that playoff game and towards the end of the season, the one thing that did, again, this is not me claiming that I got this right. I really thought he was going to keep playing. But if there was one thing that made me a little shaky on that, it was that he looked like he did not want to take hits. Yeah. And I was taking that more as Tom Brady can be a decent quarterback for someone with a good roster if they have a good offensive line, if they can protect him, if he's not getting walloped back there. Because if he is, it's over. Like, it's just, he cannot at this point. He's never been the most mobile guy, but he's lost a little bit of that subtlety in the pocket. And he just seems really disinterested in taking that kind of beating. So I thought that just was going to influence the situation. At a certain point, though, every person who plays football gets hit. And if you're just done with that, if you just don't want to do it anymore, then like maybe that does add up to I just got to call it a day. Now, again, I don't think that that fits with a fact pattern of this was a decision made because he was sort of playing musical chairs and the situations dissipated that he would have been interested in. But I do think that that's probably a piece of this is that he just didn't want to be on his back, you know, four times a game anymore, even two times a game. And you could tell that at the end of the season.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that stuck out big time in that game. And, you know, even like you said, when he was in his prime, his sort of pocket mobility was fantastic where he's not scrambling for 12 yards. But man, to get away from an edge rusher or something, you know, he was so good at that. And then when that goes away and the focus is don't get hit, like he looked terrible in that game. But I'm with you. I mean, I thought my assessment of him this year was like he could still make high level throws. The arm was still very good. It was just, man, when something doesn't go right, like it looks really bad. You know, it doesn't just look kind of bad. It looks really bad where he's just kind of dirting the ball there. And it looks like the offense has no chance. So your question is a good one. Was it he didn't, you know, his agent maybe does has the back channel conversations and he didn't like any of the options available to him, like the, you know, all right, Sean Payton's no longer an option. Miami's no longer an option. Or was it, you know what? I just wanted to wait until whatever, two, 3 weeks after the season ended to be sure. And I just don't want to play football anymore, which, you know, we don't know the answer to that, to which one it was.
Sean Payton's agent, by the way, being Don Yee,
right,
also Tom Brady's agent.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be funny if there's some sort of alternate universe where like the Broncos convince Jim Harbaugh to come back and then Sean Payton pivots and Brady says, well, now I can play. Well, I mean, there could be an alternate reality where this doesn't happen if there really was that Sean Payton link, but who knows?
Yeah, totally. I'm sort of reverse engineering like, why is this so surprising? And I do think that something that would explain a lot of that is if he did look at it as there are some situations where I would stay and some situations that I would not be willing to stay for. And that's always going to be true to a certain extent, but I always looked at it as play football versus not play football. And maybe it was a little bit more complicated than that. Maybe it was play football with Sean Payton coaching or for the Dolphins or for, you know, it really can't have been Tampa, though, because if he wanted to play for the Bucs, their salary cap is already a mess. It's going to be an extra mess because Brady's retiring. Now, they knew that that was a very solid possibility and they won a Super Bowl. And, you know, I think they'd make that decision 10 times out of 10. But even as is, even with a roster that with a lot of offensive line injuries last year, couldn't really compensate for some of the stuff that he's become worse at with time. The Bucs would be thrilled if Tom Brady weren't retiring, because they're in a bit of a mess because of this. So I just, if he wanted to take that option is extremely available to him. So I don't.
Yeah.
He had to have chosen no over that. I can see the other doors with Peyton, with Miami closing, but like that door is wide open and he's choosing not to walk through it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was Tampa under certain circumstances, but it was such a bad situation last year that, like you said, they don't really have a lot of options to change things in Tampa that might appease him. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download FanDuel and use promo code RINGERNFL so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. I'm leaning Eagles -1.5. In this game, I like their talent, but of course, it never feels good to go against Patrick Mahomes. So you can go the other side. You could choose another bet. Do whatever you want, all on a top-rated sportsbook app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today with promo code RINGERNFL to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager, only $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP 253342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the question now is, now what for Tom Brady? He signed a 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox. Let me offer a couple takes on this and get your feedback on it. Number one, if I'm just being honest, I don't have much interest in hearing Tom Brady call a football game. I mean, it's a lot of money. I understand why he wants to do it. Maybe he'll surprise me. And this time next year, you'll be saying, Shiel, remember you said that last year. And now this guy is the best analyst in the game. And especially, I think, because of who he's going to be replacing. Like I don't know. I want to hear your take on this. Like the Greg Olsen love, is that just in our circle of people who are just following football 24 hours a day? Because I love Greg Olsen. Like, I legitimately think he's the best analyst out there and can easily, in a year or two, be one of the best analysts we've ever heard call a football game. I love his excitement. I love how he explains stuff. I love how he doesn't talk down to the audience. It's clear that he does his homework. Like, it's just a very enjoyable experience for me to hear him call a football game. And now what we expect is that Tom Brady's going to replace him for the biggest games that Fox has now. So I'm curious what you think about the Olsen thing and also what you think about Brady now kind of moving into this next phase of his career calling NFL football games.
I love Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen has been fantastic. I do think that a lot of the Greg Olsen love is coming from inside the house. It's you, it's me, it's the people we follow on Twitter, it's the people that we tweet back and forth with. Tom Brady is a far, 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 far more famous person than Greg Olsen, which when we're talking about, I mean, you've seen some of these audience figures for the playoffs. When we're talking about 50 million people watching a non-Super Bowl playoff game, it matters if you can just even put Tom Brady on the screen and have him say, "Hello, I'm Tom Brady. They're playing football down there."
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of people to whom that's going to be more valuable than Greg Olsen providing what I think is genuinely educational, informative, entertaining insights into a game that he played not that long ago, which of course is something that he does have in common with Brady. Now, there's a piece of that where I feel like I'm talking down to football fans a little bit. And I know, like, my boyfriend could not care less about football, does not watch it if he's not with me. And sometimes he will listen to a broadcast and be like, "That made no sense what that guy just said." Like, not every non-obsessive football fan is incapable of telling the differences between these people. So I think sometimes it's possible to overstate, like, you know, it's possible to err by treating people like idiots and say they're not capable of identifying good analysis when it's there. But there's a really, 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 really big difference between Greg Olsen and Tom Brady. Now, I am assuming, just because I think that Greg Olsen has been really notably above average doing this so far, that I would prefer to hear from him. We don't know how Tom Brady will be at this. There's some, you know, portion of outcomes that involve him having so much insight into the game, which we know he has, and being able actually to share it in a way that's comprehensible and interesting. I'm not super confident that that's what's going to happen. I've heard his podcast. And so we'll see. Like, he's obsessed with being good at things. I think he'll really want to be good. He'll really want to be liked. Although I don't know that that's a good thing necessarily, because it's very hard to do one of those jobs without just taking a ton of criticism, because it's, you know, it's very easy for you, for me, for anybody to just say, "Oh, what a stupid thing that guy just said." And I don't know how he'll handle that. And I also think that a piece of the story of Tom Brady's end of football career and his going back and forth on figuring out what he wants to do is that he's tried a bunch of stuff and not all of it has gone super well. Like, I think, you know, I don't know that TB12 has become the major brand that he hoped it would. I, you know, 80 for Brady's got a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, so that's exciting. But I don't know that the documentaries, really caught on in the way that he might have hoped that they would have. And I think he's searching for something that he can feel competitive and engaged with in the same way, or at least in a similar way to the way that he always felt about football. And maybe this will be that, and maybe it won't be. I hope, and I think the thing that it hinges on the most is how much he's willing to share, because Tom Brady's a smart guy. He's a good communicator when he wants to be, and he's got an insane wealth of knowledge and experience and anecdotes about being in the NFL, playing football, playing quarterback, which is, you know, the position that we want to understand the most when we watch these games. He also, again, like, he has a lot of muscle memory of just not sharing. And if he sticks to that, I wouldn't be super optimistic about what this is going to sound like. If he says, "Hey, I'm retired now, I'm going to tell you guys how it is," then we might be in for something cool. And I think, you know, I know Brian Curtis, our wonderful colleague who covers the media so well, has at various points said that there are people at Fox who have not always been super confident that they're ever even going to get Brady in, up in a booth.
Right.
Fox has the Super Bowl, so we might be about to find out.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes. But I do think that how he is as a broadcaster will hinge on whether or not he's willing to just sort of open up, maybe upset some people, but tell it like it is.
Yeah, your point is a great one in that, like, the best version of Brady the announcer, at least in like 2023, is somebody who knows all these players. Like, he's literally just, you know, in the past couple of years been scouting especially all the defensive players. He's literally been scouting these guys, scouting these schemes. And that would be really fun if he knows their strengths and weaknesses, or, hey, I remember we were playing them in week four and he had this, you know, whatever, all that stuff. We'll see. Like, I think you made a good point about announcers and kind of casual fans. Like, to me, it's the same as like the rule with social media and the rule with announcing, like, don't annoy. Like, you don't want people to just be annoyed with the content you're putting out there, whether it's social media or announcing. You don't want to be the person who's just like, oh my gosh, this person's terrible. Like, I wish I could turn this off, but it's like a hate listen. That's what you do not want to happen if you're Tom Brady. And I could see some version of sort of the Drew Brees thing where it's just like, you're supposed to talk here. Why aren't you talking? Like, you're supposed to say something here, but we'll see how that goes. You're right. There is a wider range of outcomes than I gave credit for. I guess there we'll see if any, you know, we'll see if he's better than we anticipate. That was weird though. How like Brian Curtis and other media reporters in the last year have been saying like, Fox isn't sure if this guy's ever going to call a game, and now he's retiring and now we expect him to be calling a game. Who knows? Maybe, like you said, he'll be a part of that Super Bowl broadcast next week, or at least next year, we expect him to be calling games. So we will see how that goes. Greg Olson, we enjoy you. We like you. Hopefully, you know, you still live a great life. We'll still watch your calls and appreciate them very much and show you love on the Ringer NFL show.
I don't know if that means anything to Greg Olson on my television.
Yeah. There you go. I agree. All right. Let's finish by just talking a little bit about the ripple effects here. You mentioned it. Tampa Bay, not in a great spot cap-wise. They've kind of been in all-in mode. At the same time, I was just looking at their roster, you know, before we hopped on here, and they still like have some very good young players. You know, even some of the extensions they signed and the draft and everything, like, these weren't a bunch of, it wasn't exactly like the Rams where it was guys in their 30s or mid-30s or whatever, and after this, it's over. Like, they've got Chris Godwin, who will be another year removed from the injury, right. One of the, you know, better receivers in the NFL. They have Tristan Wirfs. They have Vita Vea. They have Antoine Winfield Jr., Carlton Davis. How old do you think Mike Evans is, by the way? I couldn't believe this when I looked it up.
28.
Wow. See, you're good. This is why you're more knowledgeable, better guesser than I am, because I would have guaranteed that he was in his 30s. He's 29 years old, which I couldn't believe. It feels like he's been in our lives for 20 years, but I guess that's not the case. So they've got some younger players. I mean, do you have just like a guess of what they're going to do? I was thinking maybe they don't look to me like a team that's just going to be like blow everything up and, you know, move on to a new phase. It feels more likely to me that they would add a veteran like a Jimmy G or a Derek Carr, or maybe say, let's buy a year here with someone like Jacoby Brissett and see if we can still be competitive, and then figure out a longer term quarterback solution. I mean, just kind of what does your gut say about where the Bucs kind of go from here without Tom Brady?
Yeah, I wouldn't be. You're right to point out that the roster overall is pretty solid. They were a playoff team. I don't know what they're going to do about quarterback. I just still had such big issues with what that offense looked like, how the passing game in particular was run. We don't know. Part of the issues in the offensive line was just that they got hit with that huge stack of injuries. Ryan Jensen obviously was able to get back by the playoffs. Hopefully that's better, but it's a mistake to just say that everybody rebounds perfectly from a major thing. I just don't trust the direction of the team. They're $50 million over the cap.
I also think that they're irrelevant, right? That's what it feels like. They're just going to sink sort of into irrelevancy. Like, this will be the last time we talk about the Bucks until, like, August. I mean, that is kind of, as you're speaking, I'm like, yeah, what am I talking about? Like, this is just going to be one of those middling teams, it feels like, is the most likely outcome.
I mean, part of it depends, right, on whether the other teams in the division that feel a little bit ascendant. Like, I'm so curious about, you know, can the Panthers ever get it right and figure out quarterback and turn into something? Because that defense is young. They're cool. Like, I think they made a good decision with the coach. If they can actually get it together, that division is wide open. If nobody seizes the moment, then we're still talking about, okay, well, maybe Tampa has enough overall talent to hover around 500 and that's all you need. And you win the division and can sneak in, or you're at least in the conversation to do that. But if anybody else in that division could actually fully get their act together, I don't think that Tampa would be competitive unless they made some sort of big move, which, again, I don't think that they have the resources to be able to. So I don't. Congratulations to the Bucks for winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. That was the goal and you did it. Like, that's the good news.
Seriously. I mean, they stunk before Tom Brady. They, you know, if you just look at their, Pro Football Reference page before Tom Brady, it was very, very ugly before he got there. And you get to the playoffs three times in a row, you win a Super Bowl. I mean, they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 straight years, Nora, without making the playoffs before Tom Brady got there. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it was worth it. He gave them, you know, some memorable games, got a Super Bowl for the last 3 years, and now you have to figure out where you go from here. Other teams I had written down here, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but I wonder if you have thoughts on any of these teams that were sort of, at some point by someone or other, there was some kind of Tom Brady connection or rumor out there. You mentioned the Jets. Do the Jets now go after, is Aaron Rodgers still, you know, does that still seem like the most likely scenario? The Patriots, there was the, you know, that little period where we thought, wait, is Tom Brady going to go back to New England? I guess now
it's
you
always
would think
absurd. Always a ridiculous
idea. Now you would think Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien, and then they move forward there. The Raiders are another big one. You know, there was the Josh McDaniels potential connection. They had some weapons there. Do they go Jimmy G or elsewhere? And then probably the most interesting one is the one we talked about at the top. What are the Niners going to do now? The Brock Purdy UCL injury. I can't imagine that that's plan A for them, that you would want to go with, you know, count on him being healthy and leading you to a Super Bowl next year. Is it just go back to Trey Lance and you see how does that go until Purdy is healthy? Any of those teams, any of those situations kind of interest you as a link to not being an option for Tom Brady anymore?
Well, I'm with your illustrious colleague, well, mine too, but especially yours, Benjamin Solak, with his reaction to your Brady to the 49ers prediction, which is just, we can still, I think, feel pretty confident that Kyle Shanahan's going to do something unhinged. Like, this man is at the end of his rope with this position. And if not only his personal history as a coach, but his father's tells us anything, like, he's going to internalize all of that to say, I just need the guy. I will move heaven and earth to make it happen. If we thought the trade up for Lance was crazy, like, just get ready. I don't know what it's going to be, because the thing that fit the mold of that best was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out. I'm fascinated to see what they do. The Jets piece, definitely. I've never been a huge believer, or I guess I wasn't a huge believer in the Aaron Rodgers to the Jets stuff. That said, with the Hackett move, with this, it is starting to feel a little bit like there's quite a bit of smoke there. If I'm the Jets, I would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo than Aaron Rodgers. Like, at what he's going to cost them, I'm not enthusiastic about that, but it does seem like that's the direction they're moving in. The Raiders will be really interesting. It's going to be an interesting offseason of quarterback movement, because we were just talking about the NFC South. Here are the quarterbacks currently in the NFC South. Kyle Trask, Desmond Ridder, Andy Dalton, and Sam Darnold.
Wow. The whole division, they're all... Jimmy G's gonna... He might be the big winner in this. I mean, I was looking at all these teams going, oh, maybe Jimmy G there. You just mentioned him with the Jets. Oh, maybe the Raiders. Jimmy G. All those NFC South teams. Maybe Jimmy G. He might be the winner in Tom Brady retiring, which I think would please him and would not please Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's probably true. I thought that was going to pan out last year, and I think I underestimated how skeptical teams were about the injury that he was dealing with, but maybe this is really Jimmy's chance to be the belle of the ball.
We will see. That's where we are. Man, though, the NFC South. Who is going to play quarterback for these NFC South teams? There are jobs available. Yes, the job market is good. If you are somebody, if you are a quarterback out there, go just, you know, visit all those teams. Do a little quick drive, quick flight from one to the other and see what you get there. All right. I think you're right. You know, the Kyle Shanahan thing, last thing. That was it. Did you see those photos yesterday? It's like, you know, when Obama first entered office and when he left, there was one of those with like Kyle Shanahan. And my gosh, like, I hope at least he's taken a couple week vacation here after the season, because like, play the long game, Kyle. You're not like, you're not old, you know? You still got your whole life ahead of you, Kyle Shanahan.
There's no shame in it, but he's sprouting some grays. Just take a long vacation. Maybe go see what Cliff Kingsbury's up to in Thailand.
That's
like,
right.
just relax. I hope Kyle Shanahan can get some R&R. It seems like it's been maybe a stressful year.
But your point is correct. He doesn't strike me as a man who's ready to be patient this offseason and go into next year. That's not going to be the theme in the 49ers offseason. So we'll see what they do. All right. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Nora Princiati for joining me. Make sure you listen to her and Lindsay. Had a great conversation about Sean Payton, D'Amico Ryans, and the coaching landscape on the previous episode. On this feed, check that out. Thank you to Mike Wargon for producing. Additional production supervision by Connor Nevins and Arjuna Ramgopal. Listen, it's been a newsy week. If news breaks, one of us, two of us, three of us are going to be back on this feed, breaking it down, whatever it is. So I have a feeling this is not going to be the last episode you hear on this feed this week, but we will see in the next week. Nora, we return with our usual episodes live from Glendale, Arizona. That is going
live.
To be a lot of fun. I guess not live in the sense you're listening to us live, but like, we will be at a place, co-hosts together, colleagues together. That will be a lot of fun. So we're going to have fun with those.
We
Super
could do
Bowl
it live.
We
call you One Take Kapadia. So it would be, be all good.
There you go. And we'll continue to talk about the offseason news as well. All right. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. We will talk to you soon on the Ringer NFL Show.